Andy de Laurent joins me now for a look through the press and lots of reaction from the European papers to this proposed peace plan between Ukraine and Russia.
Yeah, that's right, Oliver. Russian President Vladimir Putin, of course, saying he's open to the idea of a U.S. brokered peace plan in theory. But as we've heard, he did lay down a number of conditions. The feeling in the press today is very much that he's the one in control. This is what Libération, the French paper, says on its front page. A cease what it wonders on its front page. Really a sarcastic headline. Putin on Wednesday was seen in military fatigues visiting Kursk. The next day he appeared to make the U.S. envoy Stephen Witkoff wait while he met with Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko. Libération's editor in this editorial here today uses the word, the French word flou, meaning a very unclear, blurry, and the paper says that his intentions are indeed very obscure right now, and Putin continues to play a deadly game of poker against the West. Also from the front pages here, Le Figaro, also very much going with that idea that Putin is the one who has all the cards right now. The yes but of Putin to Trump on the issue of the ceasefire. It says, the paper noting that Putin's behavior in Kursk this week really appeared to be one of a leader who believes he's close to victory. You have also the Belgian paper Le Soir here, once again, Vladimir Putin dictating his conditions, it says. Almost a similar headline from Der Tagesspiegel here, which also has Putin on its front page. Although the German paper says, well, it sees it much rather as an outright rejection by Putin of the ceasefire deal. And let's end with this little cartoon here. Pretty much says it all. The dove of peace that is represented by Donald Trump pooping all over Zelensky. Oliver.
And are there any other reactions?
Well, we can show you this from Kyiv Independent, which actually focuses, unlike the European papers, on Zelensky's reaction. The Ukrainian leader delivered an evening address on Thursday to the nation in which he said that Vladimir Putin is afraid to admit to Donald Trump that he doesn't want a ceasefire because he wants to keep killing Ukrainians. The Ukrainian leader also added that Moscow is demanding for impossible conditions in order to postpone ceasefire talks as for as long as possible. You also have this quite an interesting article here from the Italian daily Corriere della Sera, which really looks at what Putin wants in exchange for a ceasefire deal, noting that he wants Ukraine to give up four key regions occupied by Russian soldiers right now, Lugansk, Donetsk, Zaporizhia and Kherson, including the provinces in these regions still occupied by Ukraine. For the Italian daily, in Putin's eyes, Europe should be relegated to a marginal role. And it says that his neo-imperial 19th century vision is certainly one that is also shared by Donald Trump himself.
Now, in the United Kingdom, Keir Starmer has made sweeping changes to the National Health Service, which is dominating the front pages there.
Yeah, that's right. He's announced his really big restructuring plan to abolish essentially NHS England, the NHS England body, to cut costs, cut red tape and bring management of the health service under the health ministry itself. Here it is making front pages on the front of the Daily Telegraph. The move will inevitably lead to the loss of several thousand jobs, but the government says it will save them also hundreds of millions of pounds, which can then be redistributed towards improving the health service. For the Daily Telegraph on its front page, it calls this decision an £800 million gamble. On the front of The Guardian, also making headlines is this news that NHS England. The Guardian explained that it is actually financed by the government, but it runs on its own. It was established just over a decade ago by the then Conservative government, the current Health Minister Wes Streeting, calling this move necessary to rectify that what he called a disastrous reorganization and the creation of NHS England. In any case, it's getting a lot of support from the Daily Mail. The tabloid says, finally, patients will be put before NHS bureaucrats. The government has also said that the job losses will be necessary because there's been much frustration up to now with the feeling that there's this duplication of jobs within both the NHS and the health ministry.
And staying with health, Australian scientists are hailing what they hope could be a huge breakthrough in the fight against Parkinson's disease.
Yeah, that's right. It's some very good news coming out of for researchers from Australia. So this article here explains that 20 years ago, a PINK1 was identified as a protein linked to Parkinson's disease. But for two decades, no one's really known what this protein looks like or how it switched on with the onset of Parkinson's disease. Now, a hallmark of the disease is the loss or the death of brain cells. Researchers at the Walter and Eliza Hall Institute of Medical Research based in Victoria, Australia, you have the team of researchers here as well as that protein I was just mentioning. Well, they've discovered now that they've actually determined how the mutation switches on. They can use this discovery now to find a way to switch it off, which could lead to slowing down the progression of Parkinson's disease, which is actually the fastest growing neurodegenerative condition in the world, Oliver.
And finally, Donatella Versace, sister of the legendary Gianni, is handing the reins of the family fashion house over after nearly 30 years.
Yeah, that's right. She actually stepped in right after her brother's murder in 1997, and she's been running it for the past 28 years. She'll now be leaving her post as chief creative officer, although she'll stay on in as a chief brand ambassador. Dario Vitale, the former image director at Miu Miu, is a new designer. Donatella Versace really oversaw a crucial period in fashion. It saw the rises, of course, of supermodels, but also iconic dresses like the one worn by Liz Hurley here, called the staple dress in 1994. Some years later, Jennifer Lopez's dress also was very much talked about. This was back in 2000. In fact, it was a dress that was so researched that it actually launched Google's image search function as we know it today. In any case, the Times says her departure also sort of coincides with the end of an era in fashion, high octane, glossy and molto sexy.
It's very much screams the year 2000.
Indeed it does.